I was contemplating before the service started, do I stay up the front and just sit down and get up, or do I go to my seat? And when I saw Dance to the Beat, I was really glad I was down here. Skyra and Vicky, I mean, you guys were excellent. I would not have been that great dancing to the beat. Well, this year at Grace Fellowship, in our three Christmas services, that's this morning, this evening, and then on Christmas Day itself, we're going to be thinking about three things that are at the top of people's lists when they think about their favorite things about Christmas. This morning, we're going to be thinking about Christmas presents. Hands up if you like Christmas presents. Sorry, I should put my hand up as well. This evening, we're going to be thinking about Christmas lights, and in particular, the greatest light. And then on Christmas Day, we're going to be thinking about family, and the family that we're all invited to join, God's family. So do join us tonight. Do join us on Christmas Day at 10:30. It'll be a similar length service to today. It won't be too long if you're able to. So right now, Christmas presents. And Christmas, that very first Christmas, I guess is famous for three presents in particular. Can anyone tell me what those three presents were? Go on, Skyra, first one. Oh, that's the one I was going to come to, Skyra. You've stolen my thunder, Skyra. Top form today. We'll come to Jesus in a minute. Enzo. Myrrh. Eli. Frankincense. Oh, we've got a hand over there. Sunny. The most expensive one. Maybe. Gold. Well done, Sunny. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. But then I was going to say, but for some of us, including Skyra and including me, there was a much more special gift given that very first Christmas. The Lord Jesus himself came to earth to save us. Here is part of the verse that we sent out on our invitations this year. It says, the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. Let me tell you all this morning, what the Bible is saying there and what we as Christians believe is that the most valuable present, the most wonderful gift you can ever receive is this gift. It is eternal life in the Lord Jesus. Well, there's lots of you that put your hands up and said you like presents. So I thought I would bring along some presents today to hopefully help us think about Jesus. Another question for you then, what is your favorite type of present? What is your favorite type of present? Is it an edible present, for example? That might be my son's, Samuel, his favorite type of present. He likes edible things. What is your favorite type of present? Oh, Mum? A surprise. A surprise. There we go. A surprise present. Any other favorite types? Ruth? Jewelry. That's very direct. Paul, you're hidden there behind the Christmas tree, Paul. Take note of that. Ruth's favorite present is jewelry. There's no holding back. I can see a little Alfie. Is that you? What's your favorite type of present, Alfie? Chocolate. Oh, there might be some chocolate today. Esther's normally very good looking after us at lunchtime. Well, do you know my favorite type of present, which I thought some of you might mention, is actually what I would call a big present. Do you know, I can remember growing up, and there was one particular Christmas where I think my parents and my grandparents combined together to buy me the Lego airport. And the Lego airport had a long runway, it had a little terminal, I had a jumbo jet, I had a helicopter. And you know, the best part about it all was that underneath the Christmas tree that year, my present was the biggest. Would anyone like to come and open this present? Come forward, sorry. The little girl in the lovely ribbon on the top and red's the colour, you see. Go, open away. I know, she's a bubblite. That's the, yeah, lovely to. So I should say, actually, before you can have one part of that, I need the other part for this talk. Sorry, that's a little, you know, one of those terms and conditions. I should have given that out and got you to sign something. That's it. I did the wrapping, so it's not very good. So you're going to need to pull hard. I think there's some sellotape across the top. That's it. Good. Good job. There you go. So that's your part. Thank you very much. You can take that back to your chair. And here's the other part. Oh. A sleeping bag. I should say as well with those chocolates, make sure you talk to your parents before you eat them all now. And if you want to have some lunch, I would say save them until after the lunch that we're all having. A sleeping bag. But you know, let me tell you something. This isn't a normal kind of sleeping bag. Do you know, this is the Vengo Q7 350. I bought this about 20 years ago. And you know, this is called, I think, a 3 or 4 season sleeping bag. Do you know, that means that I can sleep in this sleeping bag in the spring and it will keep me warm. I can sleep in this sleeping bag in the summer and I will get hot and sweaty. I can sleep in this bag in the autumn and it will keep me cozy. And you know what? If it doesn't get too cold, I can even sleep in it in the winter, up to about -5 or 10, I think. I haven't used it for a long time. Let me get it out if I can and show it to you. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, that's. If I need to get it open first, though. I think this is when your wife puts something away and she puts a knot to keep it all. Right, hold on a minute. Sorry, Michelle. I think this might be your doing. Otherwise, it's not good to be the pastor's wife. I think it's just the knot before the. I didn't think about checking this before I put it in my box to wrap up. I know. It makes me just, yeah, it's just. There we go. Look, it's not almost done. Oh, no, is it not done? Am I not going to be able to get my sleeping bag out? Thank you, Lucy, for your support. It's lovely to have family support at this time, Luce. No, am I going to have to try and just pull it out? Has anyone got some scissors? Because it is a bit old now. I haven't used it for. Oh, hold on. Look, it's going to come out. Do you know, it's going to be almost impossible to get back in here. That's all right. I should be able to. And if you want to chop just there, John. This is dangerous as well. You know, here are two elders of the church here, and we've both got lights, and now we're getting metal knives out. If we get electrocuted in a minute. Don't put a hole in the bag itself, though, John. Thank you. All right. If that's the worst thing that's going to go wrong today, I'm all right. Here we go. Do you know, the thing is about this bag is that if I start to puff it out, just like someone said, I'm not going to be able to get it back in there. I'm definitely not going to be able to get it back in there now. But if you look, it's got loads of layers. It's got loads of feathers in there. And you know, that normally takes me about half an hour to put back into the bag. Well, when I think about big presents, I think about the Lord Jesus Christ. God tells us in his word, the Bible, that Jesus was the creator God, that God made the heavens and the earth, that he is a mighty God that was present before time began for us. And I think, how on earth did Jesus, this mighty God, come down into the being of a man, born as a baby? When I think of big presents, I think there was no one bigger than the Lord Jesus come into this earth. Here's what John said. John was a disciple of the Lord Jesus, and John said this about Jesus: through him, that's Jesus, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. There's been no bigger present that's come to this earth than Jesus. Well, let me ask you if anyone else would like to open another present. Yeah, you've all seen the chocolate box now. There's a few more hands going up. Before we open another present, let me ask you another question. Who is expecting to get a present next week on Christmas Day? Hands up. Oh, saw my wife's hand go straight up. John had to help us out with that bag, Michelle. Yeah, does anyone know perhaps a present that they're going to get next week? Well, there's a few, isn't it? Because the next present I just want us to think about is an expected present. Now, I've brought some presents along here. I've got three of these, and these might be a present that you might expect to receive from a pastor of a church. Would anyone like to open one of these presents? Poppy, I can see that hand straight up, and you're in, it's very sparky. Would you like to take this present, and that can be for you and for your baby brother, Jack? It's lovely to see you here. Anyone else got two more presents? I need to try and think. Lily, here we go. And seeing as your sister got one, I should really pass that one on to you as well. You can open them now if you want, or you can wait until Christmas Day. What do you think they might be? Eli? Like a Bible. That's what you might expect. You might be onto something there, Eli. Sorry to spoil the surprise if you were going to keep it till Christmas Day. But anyone opening them, or are you going to save them? Oh, we got one opening them. Is Eli right? Does it look like a form of children's Bible? There we go. An expected present. And do you know what? When I think of an expected present, I also think about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not always a good thing, is it, to expect a present? Lots of you putting your hands up. I don't know what parents and husbands or wives think when we expect a present. But you know what? Actually, sometimes we're not wrong to expect a present. If someone loves you and you trust them and they tell you they bought you a Christmas present, or they ask you, what would you like for Christmas? And then you look under the tree and you see it there and it's got a label on and it's addressed to you, or that loved one tells you, do you know what? I've put your present under the Christmas tree. Well, then you would expect to get a present, wouldn't you? And often, the expected presents are sometimes the best presents of all, aren't they? Because they might be the presents that we've been saving up for all year, and sadly, we couldn't quite afford to buy them with our pocket money, but their mum or dad say, don't worry, I'll get you it for Christmas. And you're expectant, waiting for that present that you've wanted all year. Well, I think about the Lord Jesus because in the Bible, the first half of the Bible, which we call the Old Testament, it's actually slightly bigger than half of the Bible. God tells his people all the way through that Old Testament to expect a special king, to expect his king to come. So in many ways, Jesus is also an expected present. Through many prophets, God told us to expect Jesus to come. This is what God said through the prophet Isaiah, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. He's going to be of utmost importance, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. That is some special king that the people were expecting. Isaiah said that about 700 years before Jesus came. People were expecting Jesus to come. So Jesus was a big present, and he was also an expected present. Well, we've got a couple more presents to think about a little bit later on, but before we do so, we're going to hear, I think, the next part of the story, the interactive reading. Thank you, Becky and the boys. So a couple more presents for us to think about. We've thought about how Jesus is a big present, the biggest that we've ever known or seen this earth, that the creator of the world came to this earth at Christmas time. And we've also talked about Jesus was an expected present. We can trust God. God loves us, and God told us that his king would come. On to our third present. Let me try and find it. Here we go. I need this as well, I think. Do you know what I call this type of present? I call this type of present an unexpected present. Do you know the kind of present that someone just brings along on Christmas Day and you just weren't expecting to receive anything from that person? They pass you a present, and then, or a present that you look at and you think, what on earth is that? That is totally unexpected. Who would like to open this unexpected present? Oh, Rue, come on, Rue, come forward. You did some really great singing, Rue, as well. You need to rip this off. That's it, wherever you can find it, Rue, that's it, go for it. Now, you've got to do a better job than that, Rue. Come on. Here, grab in here. There you go, go on, pull it. That's it. Good job. Go, go, go. Oh, I did a good job with this one, didn't I? There's quite a few. This is like past the parcel. There's another layer, Roo. Keep going. There we go. Can you pull it off? Look at that. Amazon. Can always rely on Amazon to give you lots of boxes at Christmas time. Right, Roo. Here's the thing with this present. You need to open it at this end. That's it. Pull it hard. That's it. Well done. Now, can you see what's inside there? Don't tell anyone. No, no. Hold on. If you hold it up and try and tip the contents into this tray. Go. Oh, wow. Look at that. Can you see that? Go. I think let's shake it, Roo. Shake it. It's not happening with the presents today. Is it? Oh, there we go. Whoa. Lots of chocolate coins, Roo. You better save these and have them at home, because I know the Tantons got a big family, and you can share those. Put that basket around your table or something, maybe not a meal table, a coffee table around Christmas time. Enjoy, don't drop it. You're right, finding your way back. Well done, Roo. An unexpected present. You're right, Roo. Well done. You don't have to keep all the polystyrene bits, Roo. I'll have those back. Or my daughter will have them. Do you know, I find that sometimes unexpected presents are perhaps the presents that we end up remembering the most. Now, you might say, when I'm about to say, because I think unexpected presents also remind me of the Lord Jesus. And you might say to me, Malcolm, how on earth is that? You've just told us that Jesus was an expected present. It doesn't make sense that you tell me that he was also an unexpected present. But here's the thing, you see, Jesus was unexpected because people expected God's king to come and to live in a royal palace. They expected God's king to wear a gold crown. They expected God's king to come and to rule the nation of Israel and to get rid of the Romans. That's what they expected. Yet as a church, over the past year, we've been looking together at what Mark says in his book all about Jesus, and Mark makes it very clear. He records the words of Jesus, and Jesus said this, that he did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom, or to give his life as a payment to set many people free. That was unexpected. If King Charles III came to our service here today, we would be expected to roll out the red carpet. You boys would be expected to move, because there'd probably have to be a big seat there for the king and the queen's consort to sit right near the front. And you'd all have to wait. If you were hoping to stay for our Christmas buffet, you're all welcome to, but you'd have to wait, wouldn't you, for King Charles to get served first. And you know, if King Charles was here, he may even have some bodyguards with him. Bodyguards who would be willing to die to try and protect him should they feel that his life was ever in danger. Yet God's king, Jesus, did not come to be served by others. We're told in the Bible, and we see it in the life of the Lord Jesus, that he served others. He helped others. He helped those in need. He helped those who were sick. He spent time with people that no one else would. Do you know, Jesus, we're told, even washed his friends' feet just as a servant would. These things were so unexpected. And what's more, rather than anyone dying to protect Jesus, we're told in the Bible that he died to save us. Why did Jesus do that? Why did Jesus die to save us? Well, the Bible tells us, and it's probably one of the reasons why it's not always a popular book today, but the Bible tells us that you and I, when we do things that are wrong, perhaps when we tell the odd lie, perhaps when we're greedy or when we're selfish, when we go through life with a complete disregard for God, well, the Bible calls that sin. the wrong things that we do. And the problem is that the wrong things that we do will one day mean that we can't get into heaven, because you've got to be perfect to get into heaven. And I'm not going to ask if anyone's perfect, because I've done that once before here and several children put their hands up. The truth is that you and I know deep down none of us are perfect. Yet the wonderful message of Jesus is that God sent his only Son to this earth, and Jesus lived that perfect life that neither you or I have ever done. And not only did he live that perfect life, but the message of the Bible is, the great thing that Jesus did is that he said to his heavenly Father, part of their plan, Lord, accept my life instead of their life. Jesus exchanged his perfect life for our lives. If we'd only but believe in him, we can have a hope of eternal life. That is the message of the Bible. No one expected God's King to come and to serve others and to give his life for others. No one expected Jesus to rise from the grave, and yet he did. And that is why unexpected presents remind me of Jesus. Well, one last present. Let me see if I can find it. I put these ones up here. Do you know what I call this one? Eli. Sorry, you don't get a small present. Would anyone like, and Ruth, you don't need to answer this one, would anyone like a small present like this under their Christmas tree this year? I'm not asking you whether or not you want to open it. Would anyone like a small present like this? Yeah. Men, let me warn you, there were lots of ladies smiling. There is still time. There is 1 week to go. What a contrast to our first present, a small present. And you know, when I think of small presents, it also causes me to pause and to think about Jesus. I think to myself, how amazing it is that that big, huge creator of the world not only came to earth as a man, but was born as a vulnerable little baby in Bethlehem. And it reminds me that sometimes the small presents are the most valuable presents of all. I brought one of my wife's presents with me that she kindly loaned me for this morning. Here's a small present that was given to Michelle a few years ago. And you know what it is? It was by my children. I had to assist them a little bit. Not on thehighstreet.com if you want to know where I got this from. But it says, 10 things I love about mummy. Would you like to hear some of the things my children love about their mummy? Let me read a couple out. I don't know what I'm going to be reading here. I love my mummy because she gives me my breakfast mug of hot cocoa. Daddy doesn't do that. That's mummy. What else have we got? Sorry, Michelle, this might be a bit embarrassing for you. I love my mummy when you have something special for me for pudding. Do you know? I think that may have been Sam. I love my mummy when you help me find my toys. Now, one more. I love my mummy for my favorite dinners, roast dinner and wrapper dinner. I think wrapper dinner is for heaters, for those that don't understand. It's funny, that was a relatively inexpensive small present, and yet it's very valuable for Michelle. So valuable, she even almost forgot where she had hidden it. Sometimes the small presents are the most valuable presents of all. But you know, there is a risk, isn't there, with small presents? I think the risk is sometimes with a small present is that you can miss it altogether. We've had that before in our house. We've had Christmas Day, and we've had friends and family around for Christmas Day to celebrate it with us, and then family have left, and disaster. Michelle and I have walked back into the living room, and we've seen a small little present left wrapped underneath the Christmas tree or on the Christmas tree. It's been missed. Well, do you know, the disciple John said that many people missed Jesus when he came to this earth. This is what John said. Jesus was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize Jesus. People missed Jesus. That God became man was beyond their understanding. They saw the miracles that Jesus did. They listened to the wise words that Jesus taught. But they missed the fact that God had become man. And sadly today, despite Christmas and Easter being on our calendar, despite us having reasonably easy access to read a Bible for ourselves, churches that you can come to and listen to the Word of God, still today, many people miss Jesus. And they miss the opportunities to listen to the words of Jesus, to hear about the miracles that Jesus performed. They miss the chance to understand why Jesus gave up the majesty of heaven to be born as a little baby in a stable, so that one day he could pay the price for you and for me to have eternal life. Let me encourage you as I close not to miss any little Christmas presents under your Christmas trees this year. They can be the most valuable presents of all. And most importantly, don't miss the opportunity to receive the greatest gift that you or I can ever receive. The Bible says this: the wages of sin is death. The consequences for the wrong things that you and I do will one day mean our death. That's what the Bible says, but it goes on to say, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. That is why we celebrate Christmas. Well, we're going to sing one last carol, Hark the Herald Angels Sings, and then I will come up and close the time in prayer. Do stay if you're able to. We've got a Christmas buffet in the hall at the back afterwards that you're all welcome to stay for. There's going to be some crafts, I think a little quiz, and some games as well. So do stay. Please join us for a little bit longer if you're able to today. But we're standing to sing Hark the Herald Angels Sings.